Okay, Rabbi Saisman, Kuf Tzadi Beis. Basically, a few lines of Gemara in Maseches Nida, and then at the end, there's a few lines of perplexing Gemara in Maseches Yoma. Yes, the last few lines of Daf Samach Vav but Aleph, basically the whole sugya of Dam Chimud is mostly 5.5 lines. Bottom of Samach Vav Aleph. Amar Rava Tzva'uli Nasev in his Paisa Tzricha Shetayshev Shiva Nikia. Okay, if they again not list Kaddish, right? Kiddushin in those days was done a long time before Nisuin. There's no inyan of Chimud by Kiddushin because it could be years before Nisuin, right? But if they requested of a woman to agree to Nisuin and she agreed, the two of them agreed to get married. Then she needs Shiva Nekiyam because we are afraid of Dam Chimud. That I'm not so sure how in modern day science to explain Dam Chimud. There certainly is a connection between emotions and hormones, obviously. I don't know exactly in modern science how to conceptualize this chash, but Chazal had a Masora that there is a special chash that at the that there's a special chash that at the moment of acceptance of the wedding proposal, that a woman has a special chimud which could cause her to become a nida, and therefore she needs a shiva nekiyam. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Tva'uli Nasi and Spice and Shrikha Lake Shape Shiva Nikiyam. Now there's continuation of the story. Okay, there's a complicated story. Ravina, because the Rosh has a slightly different Gersa, we'll read it with our Gersa. Ravina made a shidduch for his son with Rav Hanina's daughter, and he said, you want to write the ksuba in 4 days or on Wednesday, you know, different Gersos. Amalei, and he said yes. Then they waited another 4 days. Yaakov Shiva Yomi, Vasar Hal Yoma. Somehow, even though they said 4 days, in the end they waited 7 days. Amalei, my high. Rav Chanina said, why are you delaying so long? Amalei, don't you know you need Shiva Nekiyam after the acceptance of the wedding proposal? So Rav Chanina said, Amadav Rav Gedola, the Chazidama, Lokatana Lokazidama, me Amalei, if there's some Rav Loshna Gedola, Loshna. It's the end of the year where we get the word chimud, dam chimud, right? What does Ravina thinks that his daughter doesn't want shiva nekiyam? She's a katana, and a katana is not a bas damin. And sorry, Rav Chanina thinks. Ravina says to him, "No, I heard explicitly from Rava that lo shna gdol lo shna katana, even a katana who doesn't normally menstruate has a dam chimud and needs shiva nekiyam, and that's why the Shofar continues ben gedola ben katana, whether gdola or katana, either way you need dam chimud, and if even a katana needs dam chimud, if you remember from Kofzadi, katana is the most misulekas dam at the beginning of Kofzadi. Is more misulekas than all the other misulekas damim. So certainly a zikena or muveris or minika, etc., would need shiva nekiyam because of dam chimud, and that is what the Pesach Teshuva brings out of cotton bays, that even a zikena or other misulekas damim needs shiva nekiyam for dam chimud, and then he brings another case of Uberes who needs a shiva nekiyam for dam chimud, and that is halacha lemaisa. I never got such a time. My wife once got this question on the Nishman hotline. Someone said, an old lady called and said, I just got engaged. I think she said to a gentleman or something. If I was speaking English. I just get engaged, and you know, I'm not a nida because I've been to Hora since my late husband passed away many, many years ago. Right, and now she's an old lady. She wants to know that she needs to go to mikvah before the wedding. She knows that Jewish women have to go to mikvah before the wedding, but That's because of Nida, and she's not a Nida. Good question. And the answer is Mefurish right here in Simon Kuftani Bay. She does need to go to the mikvah before the wedding, because Tva'uli Nasim, and despite such, Rechalei Shev, Shivanakim, Ben Gedola, Ben Katana, and Kol Shagain, all the other Mesulakos Dama, Halacha Lamaisa. Va'afilo continuing, Vodka Atzim Shasviya Matza Tahora. Even if she did a bedika at the moment when she accepted the marriage proposal and found she was Tahora, came out clean. Nonetheless, Shema Machmas Chimad Rasa, maybe she saw, because of Chimad Tibel Dam Kechargel, a tiny drop of Dam, below Regishabo, and she didn't hear Gishabo, not Hargasha, like it's some Kuf Gimel, but she didn't find it, she didn't notice it. Meaning, maybe she saw a tiny amount of blood, but lost it. This is a tiny bit controversial, right? Because you also quote Rav Yazid Das Yachid, who says, no, Minastam Rechoshu Dam Chimad, but she did a bedika. Then she did a bedika and she saw there was no dam chimad, but that's not what it sounds like from the from this gemara, from the gemara in Yoma. All the gemaras sound like there's no way around the problem dam chimad, and therefore all the rishonim say there's no way around the problem dam chimad. It's not that it's a bada, it's only a stubborn. There's such a strong chash that the rabbanim or gozer that even if you did bedika and you're totally clean, nonetheless you have to worry about dam chimad. And you need Shiva Nikim. Okay. The Umone, what you need in the Shiva Nikim. So here we are going a little out of order because those of us who are not yet married perhaps don't know what it says in Simon Kuf Tzadivah about how a woman who is a Zava Gedola, which nowadays all women are considered Zava Gedola because of Chumash Zera, what she needs in order to be Tahor, she needs Shiva Nikiyam. What do you need in order to have Shiva Nikiyam? That's the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, it's ruling Nasmir Spaisa, Tzricha Leishev, Shiva Nikiyam. What do you need in order to make Shiva Nikiyam? Generally, we assume what you need is, you need a Hefsek Tara. A Hefsek Tara is, she does a Dika to see that she's clean right during the daytime before this on the Erev Shiva Nikiyam. So that she starts the Nikiyos, because how do you know she's in Nikiyam if she doesn't know she's clean when it starts? So she does a bedika to check that she's clean in advance, and then during the Shiva Nikiyam, she does bedikos every day. Okay, the exact number, the Chachila B'dievin, we'll get to, but to make sure that she continues to be clean during the Shiva Nikiyam. Okay, so how about this lady who is counting Shiva Nikiyam for Dam Chimud? Is it the same rules as normal or not? I mean, Astam, we would think it's the same rules because it says here, Tzricha, what does Rava say? Tzricha Shetashev Shiva Nikiyam, L'chorish Shiva Nikiyam, like every other Shiva Nikiyam in the world. Meaning she has to do a Hefsek Tara, then she counts 7 clean days, she has to do Bedikas during the 7 clean days. And the poskim do quote a Yesh Omrim, which I don't think the Beis Yosef, does mention that the Rishonim put a Yesh Omrim. I don't think the Beis Yosef mentions who it is, but it's the Ra'ah, maybe not only, but I found this in the Ra'ah in the Bedik HaBayis, in Hasagos, on the Rashba's Torah HaBayis. The Ra'ah says, this is a regular Shiva Nikiyam. Why not? It's the normal case of Shiva Nikiyam. She needs a Hefsek Tara, and she needs Bedikos during the Shiva Nikiyam. However, most of the Rishonim, most of the Rishonim disagree. And here we have three basic shitas. How about the Shiva Nikiyam for Dam Chimud? So that's the Ra'ah, who's not mentioned by name, but this shita is brought down in the Beis Yosef. You need Hefsek Tara plus the Dikos Toch Zion Nikiyam. Just like a normal girl, the Rashba takes it to the opposite extreme. The Rashba says, no, you don't need anything. You just need 7 clean days. You don't need to do anything during those 7 clean days. And why would he say such a radical thing? I mean, he has a svara. But I don't think he says it because of the svara. I think he says it because of the idea from the story in the Gemara. Because at least in our Gersa, there's different Gersos in the Gemara. But in our Gersa in the Gemara, the conversation between Rav Dina and Rav Chanina happened after all the counting was done, after the Shivan Nikiyam, they had a conversation, Rav Chanina said, why'd you delay so long? And Rav Chanina says, oh, because you need Shivan Nikiyam. He says, no, you don't need Shivan Nikiyam, Shtei Ketanim. No, you do, even though Shtei Ketanim. But it sounds like they had the whole Shivan Nikiyam, and only afterwards did the Kala's father realize that she needed Shivan Nikiyam, meaning during the whole Shivan Nikiyam, she didn't know she was supposed to do Shivan Nikiyam. That was only clarified to her father afterwards. So she did the whole Shivan Nikiyam without even knowing she was doing Shivan Nikiyam. How did that help? The answer is this must be any kind of Shivan Nikiyam where you don't need to do anything, just wait. That's the Shita of the Rashba. He says you need a hefsek. Sorry. Don't. You know what? Let me just do this a lot simpler. Do you need a hefsek tara? Do you need bdikos during Shiva Nikiyam? So it says the yes, just like a normal case. Says the Rashba, no. You don't need anything. The Rai is from the story that they only clarify in the conversation at the chasen's dish. Why'd you wait so long? You have a hand. Oh, because Shiva Nikiyam. Oh, you need Shiva Nikiyam? Yeah, Taki, you do. Okay, that's fine, but we're all good. The Ra'ah would be Docha, like the Rush, who just had a different Gersa in the Gemara. And the Rush had a different Gersa in the Gemara where this conversation happened before they waited 7 days. They had the conversation, then waited 7 days. Okay, just in our Gersa thing where it seems pretty clear. There's a different Gersa thing where they had the conversation, then waited 7 days. Okay, but however, the Ravid and the Ramban have an in-between Shita. The Ravid and the Ramban and the Rush having in between Shita, you don't need a hefsek tara, but you do need bedikos during Shiva Nikiyam. You don't need a hefsek tara, but you do need bedikos during Shiva Nikiyam. And the Ravid and the Ramban, even though the Rush doesn't, the Rush better have bedikos every day during Shiva Nikiyam. Ravid and Ramban says, just one bedikos is good enough. The Ravid and Ramban even say, that could work with our Gersa in the Gemara. They only discovered at the last second that was okay. The last second they did a quick bedik at the end of Shiva Nikiyam, and that was good enough. Okay. But they don't need to have Sakara. They need to have Sakara there to start all over. So, the question is, what is the Svara here? What is the Svara? How do we pass in? Let's see how we pass in. Says the Shulchan Aruch. You don't need hefsek tara, even though she didn't do any bedika on the day of the proposal. She can start to count the Shiva Nikiyam the next day, even though she never established herself as clean. No hefsek tara. But you do need bedikas during Shiva Nikiyam, meaning we paskin like this middle shita, not like either of the radical shitas. Kol yom lechachila. How many bedikas do you need? You need one bedika day of lechachila. Miu b'di'eved lo bodkas. After shiva shah. However, b'di'eved, one bedika is good enough. Okay, both of these are somewhat controversial in terms of not even hefsekara. Says the shachlukan aleph, but the minhag is to require a hefsek tara lechatchila. Okay, so again, let's just check here. The what's the minhag? The minhag is lechatchila. Yes, b'di eved eino ma'akev. That's the shach. In Sifkat Aleph, that's the minhag in terms of hefsek tara. How about in terms of a bedikas during Shiva Nikiyam? Lechatchila every day, right? That's the Rambam says. Kol yom, lechatchila b'di'eved at least once. The shot we've got Bay's ass. But we'll see later on Kufzadi Bab that we passed in b'di'eved, you need twice during Shemini Kiyam, not once. So he says, well, because the Rashba says you don't need it at all, we make a compromise that b'di'eved suffice with once, even though normally a normal woman who's a nida, b'di'eved once would not be good enough, you need twice. And those twice would need to be at the beginning and then day one and day seven. However, as a compromise, the Rashba is going, oh, once is good enough. Okay, this is the Ramah. Now, of course, just one second, for halacha l'maisa purposes, let's keep in mind, we're going to have to discuss the lumpus. For halacha l'maisa purposes, this is only relevant to the old lady who was on the phone because she was not a nida. Nowadays, all of our kalas, I mean, except for the old lady, are nidas anyway. So if you're a nida anyway, then of course you need a hefzakara. Even b'di'eved needs a hefzakara. She's a nida. And of course you need b'dikas every day. And even b'di'eved, you need b'dikas. More than one b'dika, you need two b'dikas during Shiva Nakia, like the normal rule of nida. So again, this is all for an old lady or someone else who for some strange reason is not a nida. Right, it would be a very rare case where the kala is not anida. I mean, it could be a katana, but we don't do that nowadays, and you shouldn't.
What if the kala goes to the mikvah a few days before the wedding?
I mean, if she kept the shemini kiyam and went to mikvah before the wedding, she also took care of the dam chima.
Well, it continues.
Okay, we'll get that in a moment.
Have to be accepted marriage proposal, but if they're rejected one.
No, only an accepted marriage proposal. Rejected marriage proposal does not cause any chimut. Then
the father rejects it.
What?
The father rejects it.
Look, once upon a time in the days of the Gemara, it was different. You have to look practically at what it means. You know, if the father rejects it and no one cares what he thinks, then that's irrelevant. That's discussed a little. It's funny. Even in the days of Rishonim, it was still generally up to the father. But that is similar to the discussion, and I'm not going to get into this because it's all just a matter of your time and place. But that is very similar to the discussion of the Pisrei Tshuva at the very, very end of the Siman, who said, what if the father agrees that his son should go ahead with the wedding, and apparently he didn't have to check with his son. But the father says, but I have to check with his mother, right? So if the father agrees, but he hasn't checked with the mother yet, then what does that mean? And he says, well, it depends. If they really have to check with the mother, then it's not an accepted proposal yet. If he says, I'm 100% sure, of course this is a different question. I just have to ask her because, I'm supposed to ask her, but of course it's not a question. Then maybe that does count. So the basic upshot at the very end of the Tzanudim Yehuda or something, at the very end of the last half sif cotton of business, you have to be practical and see what's ma'akiv, what's not ma'akiv in terms of the wedding going through. Although, again,
that was just talking about changing the date, that wasn't actually talking about
correct, but the chor of wedding. I mean, except they were checking the chos and kal themselves in the high of the days if they were. But let me just put on the board here, how about for a normal kala? Again, this is not meant prejudicially. There's nothing wrong with the old lady getting remarried. It was very, very nice. But not the typical case, right? Should I say typical kala is normal, insulting? Typical kala, right? A typical kala equals a nida, then, of course, she needs a hefzakara even b'di'eved, and she needs, as we'll see later on, Yom Aleph, the Yom Zayin, b'di'eved, and every day l'chachila. We're more machmir nowadays because we don't have any of these sudden l'hakel because most of our kalas are tov midas. All of this first if of Siman Kuf Tzadi Beis would only be relevant, and if she's a nida, she's a nida, without getting into that point. It would only be relevant so far, what we've seen so far, all the machabers would only be relevant if she was an old lady who was, or for some other very, very strange reason, was not a nida or behavior yamina when, you know, Mashiach comes and we keep to the Tara, and then, you know, not everyone's a nida all the time. Okay, but meanwhile, it's only for old ladies. Now, yeah.
I assume, like, Matthias, this isn't actually the case, but the Gemara brings up raw chayav of mezavim deda, like, that doesn't come down.
What?
Does the Gemara bring up, like, if raw chayav of mezavim deda, that would also be a chilut?
I thought the Gemara only talks about that for men, not for women. You can correct me if I'm wrong, as far as I recall. In any case, not like this. Okay, right. Now, what's the Svara here? Right, what is the Svara? So, what? Okay, one second. The Ra'ah Svara is just like all Shivanakiyah. Right, I don't think the Ra'ah needs a special Svara. Yeah, Shivanakiyah, you need the rules of Shivanakiyah. Question is, what's the Svara of the Rashba? Why would you be exempt from the rules of Shivanakiyah? So, why would you be exempt from the rules of Shivanakiyah? What does the Ran say? Or what does anyone say? Why would you not need a normal woman who gets her period for Shivanakiyah and she needs all these checks? Why over here do we just say, oh, it's all clean?
It's not her normal cycle.
So it's not her normal cycle. So even if you're not a normal cycle, you still need. Meaning, the Raisa, Zavah Gedola was never a normal cycle. Zavah Gedola was mid-cycle bleeding. And yet, if you saw a tip of Dam Kakardo 3 days in a row, the Raisa, you'd need all these things. So the Taz here says, interestingly, in Sukkot and Beis, Hatam She'en Muchzek V'dam D'Holo Vadai Rasa. Says the Taz, it's not a Vadai that she ever bled. It's just a Chashash Mid Rabbanan. I mean, the assumption is that Mida Araisa, almost all posts assume Mida Araisa, if she finds blood and she bled of Dam Chima, she'd be a Mida. Right? But it's just a chashash mi'alma. She didn't find anything. It's a chashash mi'alma. If she had found something, that would be different. Right? Then she'd be a regular nida. But she didn't find anything. She's a chashash mi'alma. And therefore, why do you need all these checks? If you're bechezkas roa, you need a hefsek tyra and shimonikiyam to prove that you stopped to change your chazaka. But here, she's not bechezkas roa. She's bechezkas nikiyas already. It's just a chashash mi'alma. Now, this gets very tricky. It almost gets philosophical / mathematical. Meaning, because then you say back to the Taz, well, miman of shach. If she didn't see anything, she doesn't need the shiv and the kiyam. The whole reason she needs the kiyam is al hatsad that she did see something. Al hatsad she did see something. She's now bechezgas roa. So the Taz, again, either the Taz was not speaking medoyek, or if he was, he's going to have some fancy epistemology going on here, and say that the chash is that she saw. However, even if she saw, since we don't know that she saw, she's not Bechezgas Roa. And therefore, you don't need to check to put her back Bechezgas Nikios. Okay, one could, you know, do a whole, you know, paper for philosophy class on the epistemology of this Taz. But I don't want to go there. Let's just see, what do the Taz say? What's the Svara? According to the Taz, the Taz says, because she's not Muchzeket B'dam. She's not Bechezkas Roa. And therefore, she's already Bechezkas. She doesn't need to prove Bechezkas Nikios. Again, the tricky part is that Mimonavshach, if she didn't see, then that's not why she needs Shiv Nikim. She only needs Shiv Nikim because we're afraid she did see. And if she did see, is she Bechezkas Roa? I was like, no, we're afraid she saw, but since we don't know that she saw, she's not Bechezkas seeing. Okay, very, very fascinating finish.
Can I just repeat why not manifest in only one video?
Oh, no. We're in the Rashba. Nothing.
Oh, yes.
Right. Now, but the Ran says something different than Basios.
And also for the Taz, why would we pass, like, look where we could pass on the Dara Biyad? For Shash, we have to be able to prove it.
Whatever goes, you know, just in case they got lost. Okay. However, the Ran and the Beis Yosef says something which a lot, you know, does not get you into a philosophical mess. What does he say? He just says something of the nature of Dam Chimot as opposed to all other cleaning. What does the Ran say about the nature of Dam Chimot?
I
think it's in the Mishnah Yosef here. He said the nature of dam chibud is that it's only a re'ia mu'etes. Why were they so worried it was a tiny teapot got lost? Why are we always worried that a tiny teapot got lost? The answer is usually one don't believe one tiny teapot. Anything could be. But dam chibud, they have a sore, it's a tiny drop. And if it's a tiny drop, then even if it badai happened, it badai happens in a way that it won't continue. The nature of dam chibud is that it's not supposed to continue. It's supposed to all other dam, whether you call it a period or not. Any other type of dam that qualifies for tumas nida might continue. The nature of any dam that qualifies for dam nida, that it might very well continue. However, the nature of dam chimer, again, I have no scientific opinion because I don't have a scientific framework for understanding this. The nature of dam chimer, that's only riyamu at this. So he says, because dam chimer is always, again, what do you mean by always? There's no thing as always, but you know, the always in normal derivative circumstances, only. A re'ia mu'etes, meaning dam chima never continues. Therefore, even though for that one moment of dam chima, we assume she was a nida, however, she's becheskas that from now on she'll be naki. And therefore, you don't need to prove she's naki anymore. Okay, that's a lot easier because you don't get into logical problems. Now, let's just take it back for a second here and explain the Ravid and the Rush and the Ramban. Well, what's the Svar, the Ravid, the Rush, and the Ramban? And here, if we have to divide these three Rishonim into two different groups, which diverge completely, what would the groups be? Exactly. The Ramban and the Ravid versus the Rush, you might have noticed here, I mean, I hope you noticed here, that there is a big divide between which you're showing and which you're showing?
No, I meant the spark,
right? And this is where we see it. So here, there are two totally different drachen here. I don't mean that anything special, which is higher, which is lower. But instead, the rush, Midin Shiv and Akiyam, he agrees with the Rashba. Oh, maybe we should put him. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Says the Rashba. Midin Shiv and Akiyam, Einatzricha, Lo Hefsektara, Hates, Lo Bedikos, Toch Zayin Akiyam. Like the Rashba. So why do we say you need bedikos during Shivanikiyam? Why does the Rush say you need bedikos during Shivanikiyam? Because he holds there's tzvei dinim in the Isser of Dam Chimud. One din is that at the moment of proposal, we assume she became a nida. And what's the other din, Yoni? That every day that goes on, we are worried. Let's say it a little better. At the moment of proposal, we assume she became a nida. Right? She needs Shiva Nikim. Every day from then on, we worry she might become a nida because of Chimud. Chimud continues. Therefore, on the original proposal, even if Bdika won't help, even if she doesn't think she needs Shiva Nikim. But from then on, we worry she might become a nida. She might have done Chimud, but if Bdika helps. So that's what the Rush says the Rush, but Tricha Bidika Kol Yom Mishom Chash Dam Chimod Kol Yom Ad HaChodah. There's a continued Chash Dam Chodah. Not just Shiva Nikiyam. He says basically it's coincidence. It's coincidence that you need Shiva Nikiyam, which would normally require Bidikos, but now don't. But you need bedikos for a different reason during those same days, because every day there's a new shash of dam chimud. That's the rush. And lav davka eight, if there are 9 days till the wedding, you need bedikos all 9 days, right? There's nothing magical about sex. There's nothing to do with the kiyum, which is where you get the, you know, the which
not where the rush bomb comes from. The rush comes from the rush bomb. Okay, that's the rush. However, the Ravid and the Ramban says, Midin Zion Nikiyam, Tzricha Bidika, Toch Zion Nikiyam, Below Tefsikara. They say, no, within Shiva Nikiyam, you need one thing and not the, you need one thing and not the other thing. Not like the rest. The rest is you need neither for Shiva Nikiyam, Shiva Nikiyam. You just need the Bidikas for a different reason, which is why Reis Yosef explains. They say even one Bidika is enough. You don't need every day. Every day is not no Shash. Just Bidyotze Zayin Nikiyam. Bidyotze Zayin Nikiyam, it's enough Bidyotze Zayin Nikiyam in a very basic way, because this is a very, very Mikkel Zayin Nikiyam. You didn't actually find any blood. And therefore, even one Bidika is enough. Okay, but why would you need a Bidika during Sheva Nikiyam, but not a... but not a hefsek tara. Like, why would you need a bedika during Shiva Nikiyam, but not a hefsek tara if the chash is midin Shiva Nikiyam. By the way, Agav, this Taz and this Ran, if you actually look back in the Ravid inside, but it's not what Beis Yosef, he basically says both these pshatim as two different options. Right, neither the Taj or the Ran made it up. They just made it very explicit. Okay, but what's the logic? Why should you not need Hefsek Tara, but you should need a Bedika during Shiva Nikiyam?
Shnabachaskas Toma.
So if you don't need Hefsek Tara, if you're not Bechaskas Toma, why should you need a Bedika during Shiva Nikiyam? What's the Pashut Shat? Okay. I mean, there might be more than one answer, but yeah.
You don't need to start the Zaynikian since you've got a Chesed Tara. They start from then. You don't need to establish components and start them. But since we're in Machancha, every day you check out from Machancha.
Right, or at least at some point you check Machancha. Basically, what I'm going to say is maybe I'll say in slightly more lumbish terms, the Ran does not, right? The Ran is the one who explicates this in the Beis Yosef here. I don't think the Ran explains it in such lumbish terms. All he says is Bavadai to, what do you mean? It's only a tiny amount. You already have an automatic Hefsek Tara. You know it stops after one drop. So what's the point of doing a Hefsek Tara? However, since you need Shiva Nikiyam, you still need some Bedika. He doesn't totally clarify what he means. I think what he means is this. There's a fundamental difference between the Hefsek Tara and the Bedikas during Shiva Nikiyam. The Hefsek Tara is only for the purpose of knowing if she's bleeding or clean. The Bedikas during Shiva Nikiyam, the Hefsek Tara is only for informational purposes. Here you don't need information. The Bedikas during Shiva Nikiyam are a Kiyam of Shiva Nikiyam. You need a Kiyam of Shiva Nikiyam. During Shiva Nikiyam, it's not enough to be clean. Again, this is a bit of a Kiddush, but it's very, very small Kiddush. This is Pashtuk Shat in many ways. Like, just one classic example is we Paskin. There's a whole Machlokas Rashi and Tosos in many places in Shas. Whenever you have a Kiyam Sphira in various unrelated areas of halakha, you know, it needs to be during the day or it can be at night, except for here somewhere. So, for example, we paskin that the Diga Dur Shiva Nikiyam, you're not Yotze at night, only during the day. Why? Let's say I do 8 bedikas every night for 7 days. No, that's worse than doing one bedika during the day. Why? Obviously not in terms of the information I get, but because you need a key on the sphere of yamin. You need to do sphere during the yamin, right? And a key needs to be during the day. So therefore, the simple shot is, because Hefsek Tara is not a key, it is merely a hechsher mitzvah of Shiva Nikiyam. The bedika during Shiva Nikiyam is not only for informational purposes. It's also the kiyam, the sphere of Shiva Nikiyam. How do you do sphere of Shiva Nikiyam? You don't say hayom yom after the sphere of Nikiyam, hayom yom shaving the sphere of Shiva Nikiyam, like do a sphere somewhere. is by doing a bedika. So probably that's the svara here. Probably the svara, the Ran doesn't explicate so much. But minasam, it seems to be the svara is, it seems to be the svara is, what the svara, l'chora, is that the hefsek tara is only a hechter mitzvah of Gidias, you know, I mean, is only a hechter mitzvah of knowing she is clean, and we know anyway. But the Dikos Shivanikiyam, or at least one of them, right here, well, right here, one can have perhaps an interesting lumpus, or they assume one is good enough. Is it just because we're pretty makeup, or maybe it's because all seven of them are only different regional purposes? One of them is different. You know, but anyway, the Bidikas Shivanikiyam is also for a Bidikiyam of Firat Zayinikiyam, and even if we know she is queen, we still need a kiyum of Zayin the kiyum. Okay, that's the Pashut Shad in the Raya of the Ramban, which will be a very, very fascinating question, which we'll get to again. The best Raya of that, the Dikos or Yishuv Nikiyam or Kiyum, and not just only informational, is that they have to be done during the day. If they're real informational, like, why is it enough to check, you know, why checking every day? Why is checking once during one or two days better than checking 100 times every night? Okay, that's Pashtus the Svara. Yeah.
Rem said the Hashem Mitzvah, does that mean she has a Cheskasinu Roa? Like we still about it.
It's a change from Cheskas Roa to Cheskasinu
Roa. That means she has a Hashem Mitzvah?
Yeah, the change from Cheskas Roa to Inu Roa. Yeah.
Which one was that? Sorry, let me just repeat. Which part was the change from Cheskas?
Hepsikara. But here she's already the Cheskasinu Roa. Either for the Taz's region or for the Ran's reason.
And the reason you don't need the other seven because meaning the other because during the 7 days.
Is either because one is good enough for the Eved, and since this is only a Chash or a Bona, we're mounted another the Eved. Or if you want to say a lot, you can say the reason you need every day is just to check and make sure that she's clean. But the reason you need once is kind of cute.
In terms of how this relates to the conversation we had earlier, for a woman changing from Cheskas Roa to Cheskas Inu.
It's a good question. We're assuming that the mainstream is that the Hepsik Taras will change you. Clearly, the Hepsik Taras changes you on Ikara Din to Rice alone. Right? Everything else we're assuming is just together, Drahmanas, Homers, etc. Okay, yeah.
According to that, about which day, does it matter which day?
It doesn't seem to know.
So even if it's.
No, not at all. Okay, right. So this is the lay of the land. How we pass it again, in 99% of the cases, this is all irrelevant because this is all alumnus of a woman who's tomatoes of Dam Chimad, and all of our women, except for that one old lady, is a Nida anyway. So until we get to what Yoni keeps telling us we're going to get to, we had any Nida for Dam Chimad for 99.9% of all cases. Although, whatever, we already told you what the Nachmina is. If you take everyone else's derech, then except for that old lady, there's no Nachmina and Nachmina. They need every woman needs a full Tara process anyway because she's a Nida Gemura Midoraisa. The Nachmina is only to take the Rosh's approach before the Rosh's Rashbam's approach. So the Rosh says the Chiyuv Nachmina continues every day. It's not only one time, it continues every day. Then there wouldn't be a Nachmina because the fact that that every girl is a Nida just means she has to capture the Kiyam and then she's. Has no, then she's done. But to the Dam Chimad, she has to keep worrying every day between the Shiva Nikiyam and the wedding, which we will get to in a moment. Let's just see if there's anything else you want to mention. And Sif Aleph. Before we move on to Sif Beis, let's see the big Nachmina for the Man Hazeh. And the second one. The
There's all kinds of weird cases in the Shuba here. But we're not going to get into all of them. What if a woman got the Shuba Nikiyam and she was insane and then say that she had a new Kimut when she regains her sanity? Okay, that's pretty rare nowadays. What if she never saw the chassan and then saw the chassan? Does she have a new chima after she sees the chassan? Again, pretty rare nowadays because
even if they're in that dating over Zoom, then finally they.
No, but you see it over Zoom. Seeing a picture counts. All the posts can say seeing a picture counts. So anyway, the mice, not such a big nachmina. The fascinating issue here, I don't know if it's fascinating or just interesting, is the question of the Taz, the famous Taz here. The Taz says he wants to know, is Dam Chimut a Shashta Oraisa or only Xerid Rabban? Right, the Pashta says, again, there is some weird English, but the Pashta, if she finds blood, that's the Oraisa. But the point, the idea that even if she didn't find blood, we're hoping that she found blood. Is that the Oraisa, is that the Rabbanan? So he wants to prove that it's only Rabbanan, and they only made it at the time they could zero and summon. Why? Because he thinks the Oraisa, even if she finds blood, since there's no Harnasha, it's nothing. It's only a Lady of Zera. How does he know it's a Lady of Zera? Because after all, Tamar and Yehuda and Rus and Boaz didn't worry about Dam Chimut. After all, Tamar didn't have Shiva Nikiyam after the proposal before sleeping with Yehuda. And don't be pshat dick and say, what do you mean Tamar and Yehuda? Tamar and Yehuda didn't keep Helchas Nida. That was before Mount Torah, et cetera, et cetera. But in quotes in Medrash Chazal, the Mar and Sota, that no, Tamar explained to Yehuda that she kept Helchas Nida, not to worry, etc. So, okay, Yesh La'ayim. If Tamar and Yehuda were Makba and Helchas Nida, why weren't they, the Taz doesn't make sense. If they were Makba and Helchas Nida, why weren't they Makba on Bias Tuya? Like, why weren't they Makba on Bias Nus if they were Makba on Nida? And don't say, because they weren't so religious, they're not for Mr. Kari, but not in Mr. Lab. Well, Lachora, that's not the spirit of Midrashim on these stories. And I think the answer is, I think this is based on Rav Chaim. It's not a Rav Chaim said that there's a Rav Chaim who says, there's no Kavos Kiddushin before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, when the Avos were Makbid on Mitzvos, they were makbid on keeping all the mitzvahs that they could keep. But they can't make a halos that doesn't yet exist. They're only makbid on keeping the mitzvahs, but they can't. And that's how we explained why Yaakov can marry two sisters. Right? Nothing to do with the Ramban and Zionist, etc. Rav Chaim says, because your sister-in-law is only usher if you have kiddushin in one woman, then you're not allowed to marry her sister. But Yaakov didn't have kiddushin in Leah, so he's allowed to marry Rachel. Oh, he kept the whole Torah. He kept the whole Torah, but he couldn't make a halos kiddushin when the halos hadn't been invented yet. Right, he keep the Torah voluntarily, but he can't make a halos that Hashem didn't yet decree, and therefore he was never actually married to Leah, and that's why he was allowed to marry Rachel. You can say the same thing here. Yaakov, Yehuda, and Tamar weren't makbid on Bias Nus because there's no kiddushin anyway. So they had it. So anyone who got married was doing Bias Nus, so they weren't makbid on that. There was no way to be makbid on Bias Nus because there's no kiddushin yet. However, they were makbid on Nida. Okay, lachora that's not the Taz. The Gemara assumes, but the Taz's question not. They were makbid on Nida. The Gemara says they were makbid on Nida. Okay, there are other ways to answer my question. That's a tangent. The Taz says, why aren't they makbid on Dam Chimut? After all, he proposed to her, and she said, well, how much will you pay me? He said, this is what I'll pay you. She said, where is it? He said, this is the collateral I'll give him, and the rest is not for specifying on Zoom. What didn't she need Shiva Nikiyam? And he could say the same about about Rus and Boaz. I mean, it's not a coincidence, these two stories, right? I mean, the Chinas, Tamar and Yehuda, about Rus and Boaz, right? Rus and Boaz. At that moment, she says, Varasta Vavekal Amasecha, and he says, more or less okay, right? They met, but they never had any, any inkling of romance between them. Until that moment, and yet, it's not exactly clear
what he did here, you know, and yet he didn't ask her to wait Shimon Akiyam. It's not clear if the Taz thinks they slept together then, or just that maybe they were in Yichud together then. Why did he sleep together with her in Yichud when he woke up in the middle of the night? Why did he kick her out of his bed? Because of Yichud, because she needed Shimon Akiyam. And if not, she wasn't in Nida, but she needed Shimon Akiyam. So why didn't he kick her out of his bed? So the answer is, so basically two pashas. Yehuda and Tamar kept Hilchas Nida, Alpi the Gemara. Rus and Boaz kept Hilchas Nida because it was after Matan Torah. They had no choice. And yet, neither of them were Makban and Shimon Akiyam for Dam Chimat. Therefore, the Taz says the answer is because it's only Xerid Rabbanan, and that Xerid Rabbanan wasn't made until a long time afterwards. They lived before the Xerid Rabbanan. Okay, interestingly, he assumes they didn't keep all Xerid Rabbanan. What about the fact Avram kept their Tavshilin? Okay, I'm not, you know, Lechora, what you have to say that Avram kept their Tavshilin, but not everyone kept all Xerid Rabbanan. Okay, that's the Taz's answer. However, some people gave me quizzical looks. Does anyone want to tell me why they gave a quizzical look?
Yehuda and
Tamar. It was a proposal, but what you mean to say, he clearly proposed something, which again, we're not going to be too specific, but what you mean to say is he proposed not.
Right.
He proposed. Right? He proposed relations, but he did not propose marriage, right? It's very, very clear that Yehuda and Tamar did not propose marriage.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, the same thing for Rus and Boaz. Rus clearly proposed marriage, but Boaz did not accept the marriage proposal. If you read it carefully, what did Boaz say? Rus said, marry me. She said it in very nice poetic language. But Boaz said back to her, maybe. It depends what the other guy says. To me, that does not sound like meaning that would not go on your WhatsApp status as a successful proposal. If I said, will you marry me? And she says, first let me check with one other guy, and if he says no, I'll say yes. You know, that would not be, I think that would be considered a failure. So what does Shmuel say? Shmuel says, Mani and Shmuel are Sinai. That proposal of the Torah not say. There is no need, meaning Rus was a potential Nisuin, but I mean, again, it's a little tricky, the exactly what the Taz things went on there, but clearly there was no decision to get married. And Yehuda and Tamar, clearly there's no marriage going on there. Clearly there's no marriage going on there. So it's a little funny. That is the Chavos Das's answer. Says the Chavos Das says, there's only twirly nos, only nisuin has chimod, not znos. Okay, maybe the Chavos Das has very old-fashioned romantic notions of women's psychology. Maybe men also, I don't know, but here it's about the woman. Hey, basically, what does he say? He says, a woman, he doesn't mean taiva. Obviously, everyone has taiva for bia. But he means chimod is a little deeper than taiva, right? What he's saying is that the chimod we're talking about here, a woman doesn't have chimod for stam's nus, stam a one-night stand. That's not chimod for a woman. The chimod for a woman is she wants a husband. It could be only if the husband is also capable of bia. You know, there's a discussion in the Akrona. What if the husband is very old or disabled and is not capable of bia? But clearly the woman wants nisuin. She doesn't just want a one-night stand. As a matter of fact, I think it's politically incorrect nowadays, but I think even nowadays, the sociological polls bear that out. And women are interested in longer-term relationship than men, and certainly women are interested in long-term relationship. So says the Chavos Das, and this is going to be very important for a few things, says the Chavos Das, the taiva is for me, the chima, sorry, is for me, suet. Not for bia. And therefore, since Yehuda and Tamar were not talking about Nisuin, therefore, there's not a problem.
I don't know if it's very addressed, but just put up on the path. Is it not a question of Yaakov and Leah? Yaakov was wedded the night of the wedding, and she wasn't
She didn't know she was going to be married until that night.
How do you know she didn't know? Who says? He didn't know. How do you know she didn't know?
I'm saying there's no Kabbalah of Yisuin until that.
What do you mean? Yaakov offered to marry someone who Lavan might have told her 7 days in advance was going to be her. How do you know when she found out? Yeah, Yaakov. Doesn't matter if Yaakov knows, it matters if Leah knows. Leah was under the chuppah. No, but the question, did Lavan tell her 7 days beforehand or not? Maybe Lavan told her.
She can only have that if she knows the trick is going to work. Like, she
maybe she knew the trick would work. That's already a chiddush. But maybe she knew the trick would work. I guess you'd have to, again, for the Taz, no problem. I'm just saying there was no Xeri yet.
But I'm saying for the Taz would be a riot.
Right. Okay. But I guess the other option is that she knew the trick would work. She was smart, right? Her father is smart. She knew the trick would work. For all we know, maybe Rachel already promised her the Simanim more than 7 days in advance. Who knows? You know, it doesn't sound that way from Rashi. Kitzer, you could work it out with Dochak. The Pesachi Tshuva and some other, basically, there's unlimited answers if you go through all the Achronim here. He quotes this Chavos Das, right? Davka b'shash chimot shel nisuin. The other answer is the Gimel. Is the Taz's Odnir Latarits. Odnir Latarits is that chimot is only interesting psychology, a lot of interesting psychology. The Taz gives one second answer. First answer is that there wasn't Xeri yet. The second answer is that chimot is only if I desire something in the future. If I have something right now, I don't have chimot because I already have it. And in these cases, it was immediate. It wasn't like, let's get married in a few days, then you have chimot. But over here, it was, let's engage in tashmish now. They were already in bed. And therefore, when they're already in bed, there's no chimot because chimot is anticipation of the future. And anticipation of the future is obviously in some ways actually doing something is a stronger emotion than anticipating the future. But there's a certain type of emotion that comes from anticipating the future that you don't have when you're doing something immediately. So basically, according to this, an immediate wedding proposal of, you know, okay, what do you say to Kiddushei Bia right now would not require Shivan Akim, according to the Taz. Again, we wouldn't do that nowadays because Rav would give us Malkus, etc. So the Taz has two answers, and then he quotes here from the Chavos Das a third answer that only has to do with Nisuin, which we'll see will be important for some other inyan. And this is going to be a big theme of the Chavos Das throughout this Siman, that the chilek between Bia and Nisuin will be very important in many halacha l'maisa circumstances, even though, you know, how theoretically we explain stories from the Tanakh is not yet halacha l'maisa, but it will affect halacha l'maisa. Let's go on to Se'if base. Shivas yamim halalu, monim osam mishash yisomech v'dayta mechina atzal l'chopa afri shalos katsha adayim. When is it called for Linasevinis Paisa? When is it called an accepted marriage proposal? Because what's the problem? The problem is that you could say, let's get married 12 months from now, right? In those days, they did some of that sometimes. The girl with the Kadeshes, and then the guy with the husband would come and say, okay, 12 months from now, I want to have the Chuppah. It's hard to say the Chimud is 12 months in advance because it's so far away. So when does the Chimud happen? If you count the Shimon Chimud before the Chimud, it's not going to help. When does the chimud happen? This is a quote. This is not in the Gemara at all. This is a quote from the Rashba based on just logic. You count it from when she relies on the fact that she's getting married, actually starts preparing for the chuppah. Meaning you only have the chimud once it's close enough to start preparing for the chuppah. Even nowadays before Kiddushin, you can still take the chuppah. Like nowadays, in those days, they're all Mekudesh already. Nowadays, they're not Mekudesh. Don't think.
When you're not Mekudesh, you can't really have the chimud yet. Until the Kiddushin, and then in between Kiddushin and Nisuin, she would need seven. Yeah, no, even before the Kiddushin. She's already preparing for the wedding. That is close enough to the that it gives her chimud.
So the earliest account of Shivan Akiyam is when you're preparing for the wedding. When exactly does that count? If you look in the Pesachi Tshuva, Sifkat and Aleph, at the end of the first paragraph, the name of the Chamudi Daniel, clearly
you also need to have no impediments to marriage. Like if she still is waiting for her chalitza or something, then that's not going to help. But says Chamuda Daniel, at the end of the first paragraph of the first Pesach Tshuva, he said, until you write the Tanaim, she can't count Shiva Nekiyam, because she doesn't really count on getting married until after writing the Tanaim. How about the fact that nowadays, in modern Orthodox circles and in non-Hasidic yeshivish circles in America, they don't write Tanaim before the wedding. So how could you count Shiva Nekiyam? How does she really know she's getting married if she hasn't written Tanaim yet? So the answer is obvious. If you live in a community where everyone who gets engaged writes Tanaim when they get engaged, then until you write the Tanaim, the sides aren't really committed, and you're not really sure she's getting married, and therefore she doesn't have a chimut yet. She only has a chimut to show she's getting married. If you live in a community where no one writes Tanaim when they get engaged, either when they write Tanaim at the chasen tish or they don't write Tanaim at all, then obviously in your community, the girl counts on getting married even before writing the Tanaim. When does she count on getting married? When she's mechina atma l'chupa. What is mechina atma l'chupa? What does mechina atma l'chupa mean? The simple pshat of mechina atma l'chupa means that, you know, they say, well, not so much, the halacha. The Rashi talks out, you can rami sari basinta, when you start making the beer with barley, etc. What it means is when you start putting money down on the wedding. When you start putting money down on the wedding, that's when you are committed. So, for example, if she signed a contract with the hall or the photographer or the band or something like that, at that point, they take it seriously because they put money down, just like with Kibrami Sari means when they made the investment. That was the first contract they signed, was they started making beer because it took a while to ferment, you know, as opposed to the meat they shafted the day of. But some things they said, okay, so Lamaisa.
Is there a way that they would automatically lose some money if they retracted?
Does it have to be a non-refundable deposit? No, it doesn't have to be a non-refundable deposit. After all, you know, what if you live in the age of COVID and there is no non-refundable deposit and everything's up in the air? So it has to be when they're seriously planning the wedding. Yet it's not enough to get engaged. Just because he spent money and gave her a diamond ring, it's not yet called for Uli Nase, because she doesn't know. They haven't started planning the wedding. That is not halachically, but psychologically more similar to the Kiddushin in the old days. It's only when they, like, if he gave her ring and said, okay, now we're engaged, we're going to get married one day, then that's not yet for Uli Nase. If they say, let's pick a date, let's get married on Lag BaOmer, that's not yet, that is for Uli Nase, technically. So you want to get married on Lag BaOmer? She says, yes, that's like in the Gemara. However, the Chumra, the Rashba, is that if he says Lag BaOmer, but now it's not even a Sarva Teves yet. So if they say, let's get married in Lag BaOmer, she doesn't have chimut yet, even though they were kovei the date of Lag BaOmer, until they start actually preparing for the wedding, until she orders a dress, or she signs a contract with the hall, etc. If they say Lag BaOmer, but they don't yet have a hall, they haven't made any preparations, that's not yet fully nase. It's only fully nase when they start preparing for the wedding. Okay, again, it's not so much enough for me or for most of us, because she's going to get her period 2 weeks before the wedding anyway, and then be Anita. So it's, again, for us, it's not relevant except for the uncommon case I don't want to discourage old ladies from getting remarried, except for the uncommon case of the old lady. Okay, now, so far, not so exciting. However, says the Ramah, here is a chiddush from the Rashbam, which ties into this rush. And here we have a basic chasm between the Sephardi Rishonim and the Ashkenazi Rishonim. The Sephardi Rishonim assume that Damchiman is a one-time affair. At the moment of proposal, in accepted proposal, there is that moment when she comes to need it for Damchiman, and adds the Rashba, he had one change. act. Setting a date only counts if the date is close enough that you're already preparing. Not if the date is, you know, a year away and you're not doing anything yet. Okay. That's as far as Fardim go. So what does Fardim say? You wait till you have a chibud. Make sure you have a fixed date and a close enough to prepare that you're preparing. Wait, count Shem Nikiyam and Shalma Yisrael, you're done. Ashkenazim, starting with Rashbam, and that was this Rosh, I said, Ashkenazim had a different Masorah. They had a Masorah, they're at Tzvei Dinim in the Shash of Dan Chima. What are the Tzvei Dinim? The Tzvei Dinim are at the, this is Rishone Ashkenaz, right? The Rosh I already mentioned, but it starts earliest. The Rosh I found is Rashbam, who's quoted and then quoted and endorsed by the Mordechai and the Agos Maimonides, etc. There's Tzvei Dinim. One din is Shas Tvia. Shas Tvia, we assume there is Dam Chimod, and therefore she needs Shiva Nikiyam. She needs Shiva Nikiyam. And regardless of what, I'll make clear in a moment. Then there's every day until the chuppah. Every day until the chuppah, we don't assume she even needs every day until the chuppah. Then she'd never be able to have a chuppah. But every day until the chuppah, there is a shaft of dam chimud. Not we assume dam chimud, there's a shaft of dam chimud every day until the chuppah. And therefore what? And therefore she doesn't need shiva nikiyam every day until the chuppah. Then she'd never be able to have a chuppah. But every day until the chuppah, she needs a bedika to check for dam chimud. Right, that's the rush, the refam, etc. Every day until the chuppah, she needs a bedika to check for dam chimud. Meaning, the most efficient thing to do is to count the shiva nikiyam for the first din 7 days before the chuppah. Then you're also yotzei the second din because you've already checked every day until the chuppah. But let's say she starts counting her shiva nikiyam 12 days before the chuppah, then she has to check herself not just for 7 days like Sfarim, she has to check herself for 12 days because every day there's a low level shash, not an assumption, but a shash for dam chimud, and that's what the Ramban brings down here. The Ramban basically says, this is called the Efshar. Make her tvila as close as possible to the Be'ilas Mitzvah. Be'ilas Mitzvah being the first Be'ah after the Chuppah. Basically, she should total as close as possible to the wedding. Why? Because every day until the wedding, she is more of a chashash of dam chimud. And therefore, you know, basically, if you tovel, you know, basically means, okay, the very willing has some other kedushim here. We're not going to say all of his kedushim, but what he means is you should start the shiva nikiyam 7 days before the chuppah, or at least 8 or 9 days before the chuppah. Because if you start it 20 days before the chuppah, shalom to bedika all 20 days. And what does that mean practically? Let's go about minhag. What's the minhag? The minhag is litbo lakala leil revi'i hafish loti bal kodem motzei Shabbos. Okay, from all the achronim, it's clear leil revi'i means Tuesday night, like the Jewish leil revi'i. The kala tovel is Tuesday night, even though the bias mitzvah is only motzei Shabbos. Why is the bias mitzvah always motzei Shabbos in their days? Because what minhag did they have because they were so poor? The minhag they had because they were so poor is they would always get married on Friday afternoon. Why would they always get married on Friday afternoon? Because they were too poor to make a proper wedding suda. But what they did is they just took all the food for the Friday night suda and made that the wedding suda. So whenever there's a wedding, they got mad, had the chuppah on Friday afternoon. And the wedding suda was the Friday night Shabbos suda. So they always got married on Friday afternoon. And for some strange reason, they had a minhag not to do the Bia Rishona on Friday night. Even though the Gemara in beginning of Ksubas, asks, are you allowed to do be rishon on Friday night, or is it melacha? And Paskin's unequivocal that you're allowed to do be a rishon on Friday night, and it's not a melacha. Nonetheless, the minhag in Ashkenaz was this, the kachel de tumen hagen. They got married on Friday afternoon to save money on the wedding feast, and they didn't do the bias mitzvah on Friday night, so the wedding night was always Matzah Shabbos. And therefore, they always total Tuesday night. The first potential night of Bia was Saturday night. That's 4 days in advance. And Rama says, even though it seems that you should not go to the mikvah 4 days before the wedding, because then you won't be doing the bdikah for the next 4 days, and then I'll be against the Ashkenazi Rishonim. And apparently the minhag in the Rama's days was that she went to the mikvah and did not do more bdikahs. And then got married 4 days later. That seems to be like the Sephardi Rishonim against the Ashkenazi Rishonim. Says the Rama says that if that's the minhag, that's okay. If that's the minhag, that's okay. Why was that the minhag? Because of a confluence of three minhag. Number one, they got married Friday afternoon. They didn't want to do bias mitzvah on Friday night, even though the Gemara Ksuba says mutter, their minhag was not too. And they tovled on Tuesday night. Why did they tovel Tuesday night? As a remembrance of? What? Right. The first mission in Ksubas, Basula Nises Liyom Harbi, that in the days of Chazal, they made a takana that the Basula should get married on Wednesday. If they get married on Wednesday, they'd obviously go to the mikvah Tuesday night. As remembrance of the old days, they still went to the mikvah Tuesday night, but yet the wedding night, quote unquote, was not until Matzei Shabbos. So I must say, it must be that 4 days is not so long. And what's the issue here? That the bedika is partially psychological as well, as we'll see in the next if. Part of the reason the bedika is not physically check if she bled, and part of it is psychologically. So she'll like pay attention to notice if she bled. Because if she does bedika, she's always going to pay, also going to pay attention all day long. So basically, Rama says, 4 day gap is not the end of the world. For 4 days, she'll still be able to keep paying attention and making sure that she didn't bleed. We can let her get away with 4 days. You shouldn't, give me a second, make it further apart than that. Meaning, if she's getting married Monday, sure, she's getting married Sunday, she should not tell them the previous Tuesday night. That's going too far. Sometimes you actually have shilas like this about can a woman go to the mikvah a long time before the wedding. Usually, like, no need for a woman to go to the mikvah a long time before the wedding. And sometimes the woman has to fly to another city for the wedding, and she, doesn't have the mikvah. Maybe there is no mikvah in that city. Who knows? Sometimes it's like she has a Shabbos and a Yontif, and like it takes like Shisha Chadashim Mishabanamor, etc., to do her makeup. And so says the Rama, the maximum is 4 days. And if not, so then she needs a bedika every day, meaning up to 4 days, minhag Ashkenaz is to be made up. But more than 4 days, you go back to what the Rishonim said, and you need a bedika every day. Okay, that is the Ikar Din for Ashkenazim, which we have to resolve a few ambiguities about. We have to resolve a couple of ambiguities. But let's, Shmuel, you know, can you give me a board here?
I need to take Justin's question.
Just to clarify his last point in Ramah, if she's going to have to be a 5 days after she's mikvah, would she have to do all 5 days?
Yes.
Only the last day.
Oh, it sounds like all 5 days. Sounds like all 5 days. Yes, you know. Great question. Okay, any other great questions? Okay. We'll leave this Rishonei Ashkenaz up there. Let's see what the halacha l'maisa is for Ashkenazim. Halacha, again, for Sfardim, This is all irrelevant. At some point, to Shivan Akiyam for the Dam Chimud, and you're done. You don't have to continue to worry about it. It's a one-time shas. For fresh Ashkenazim, every day is a shas.
So, halacha l'maisa le'ashkenazim, what do we say? Lechatchila, we have two cases. One case is if it's up to a four-day gap. It was up to a four-day gap, said the Rama. Ain atzricha livto. Now, up to 4 days, even though the Mesorah of the Rishonei Ashkenaz that every day there's a chashash chimad, up to 4 days, and you'll still remember from your Shiva Nikiyam that you're in the mode of checking to make sure if you bled, and you'll still pay attention to see if you bled or not, and we don't worry about it. Not everyone agrees with this Rambam, by the way. Not everyone agrees with this Rambam. The Bach disagreed. And he's not a Pirush in Rambam. He's arguing in Rambam. The Bach says, maybe tasty. Look at the Ashkenazim we showed him. They said every day is a chash and you have to check. So says the Bach, Sricha Livdok. Halacha l'maisa, this is a big machlokas. Halacha l'maisa, this is a big machlokas. The I don't think you had only Badei Shulchan. It's a big machlokas. L'maisa, it's you might say, you know, what's the big deal to be machmir here? But first of all, it's very tricky nowadays because again, this is going to be you might say, what's the big deal to be machmir here? And the Badei Shulchan certainly is machmir, as well as some other sfarim. I think Rav Forst did not give a clear hachra here. I looked in that book today. But the Badei Shulchan is machmir. You might say, why not be machmir if you'll be on the safe side? The problem is two problems. Number one, it's a lot of kalas. The whole inyan, bedikas is very, very technically difficult for them because they're not used to it, because they have the sulim, because it's very hard for them. It's very, very hard for a lot of kalas with bedikas. They have a lot of problems. They get nervous, and then they scratch themselves, and then they have all kinds of unreasonable stakos that come up. So we try not to be too machmer on kalas nowadays, just because A, technically it's bedikas, I don't know, maybe it sounds like life was different once, but it's very hard for the kalas with bedikas, and it's just very hard for them, and scratching themselves, and it's because it's so hard for them, we try to be mako. Number two, and this is a little bit of a little bit uncomfortableness. Nowadays, often the kalas use birth control to make sure that their period doesn't come at the time of the wedding, because we don't live in the old days when you just, in the old days, I still have relatives who do it this way. Obviously not in America. The old days, how do you schedule a wedding when the kala got her period? You schedule the wedding for 3 weeks later. But then, you were pretty safe, there's really nothing to worry about. Nowadays, often we schedule the wedding months in advance because they have, a bigger deal to make a wedding. And then there's birth control pills to push up their period and control their period to make sure that it's not a focus need. And then, you really have to
birth control pills cause a lot of side effects of bleeding, and basically the, you know, one of the hardest parts of a rabbi's job nowadays is to find every kula in the book to prevent a chuppas nida, because nowadays, whenever we already book the hall and everything, like, we're not scheduling the wedding around the period, we're scheduling the period around the wedding. And so you don't want a chuppas nida, because chuppas nida is very, very hard for people nowadays. And so therefore the rabbis pull out every kula in the book to just try to avoid any shot of chuppas nida. And often, you know, rabbis have to be more makel than in normal life, in normal married life, in order to avoid chuppas nida. That's the sora. So certainly the less bedikas you can do in the first place, the more you can somach on the kulam, then you avoid getting into more trouble. So lamaisa, our minhag is, right, Willing says, like the Rama, our minhag is like the Rama, that if it's within 4 days, you don't have to do a bedika, even though that's controversial. Let's continue. That is lechatchila. Continuing. Yehuda's question. That's a great question. In Rishonim, they sometimes talk about the chuppah, sometimes talk about the bia. Isn't the number of days between the chuppah and the bia, which is what it sounds like in Lashon Rabbah here, or the number of days between the tevilah and the shivah nikiyam and the bia, or days between the shivah nikiyam and the chuppah, the beginning of married life? Why is that enough gemina? Because often nowadays, the bias mitzvah is not always accomplished on the wedding night, right? Often the bias mitzvah is not accomplished on the wedding night. What if they push off the bias mitzvah from the wedding night, which happens sometimes for all kinds of various reasons? Again, you know, the generations have changed. Once upon a time, everyone did the bias mitzvah on the wedding night just because, you know, you did things the way you did things. Nowadays, the world is different. The world actually is different. You know, we shouldn't do everything like they did in the old days because we don't live in the old days. Okay, nowadays we've gotten so far that there are some people who say, generally those people who like to be very untraditional, go so far as say that l'chachila, you should never do the bias mitzvah on the wedding night. You should always wait a long time. Kind of Baragola quotes here from the Shla that he says you should be very careful that the chassan and kala, even after the wedding. Shla says two things. First of all, you should just know that nothing's changed in many, many hundreds of years, and I'm sure more than that also. The Shla lived hundreds of years ago, and he said, can you believe what they do nowadays during engagement? They let the chassan and kala hug and kiss and everything, and they don't know that this is usher and it's terrible, etc. He was right. But okay, makes me feel a little better in our generation to know that we're not the first Judaism to survive, even though people have done that wrong thing before. And so the chassidim was just trying to listen to the right thing. But we're not the first generation where people are not shomer negiyah. Although, at least it was in the Shla only after they were engaged. But the other thing the Shla says is that, of course, the chassan and kala shouldn't sleep together in the same bed before the bilas mitzvah, because that will lead to zera l'batala. There's a lot to be said, not for now, about exactly how to weigh achshash rachok of zera l'batala against everything else in the Torah, but clearly, you have to give it significant weight. For a whole list of reasons, I don't understand those people who say that, oh, well, it's totally b'chachila to push off the bias mitzvah and not do it right away, etc. This is also okay. We'll see. It's against Rama and Kof Tzadi Gitz, against the Shlon Kof Tzadi Beis, against Rama and Kof Tzadi Gimel, etc. You know, and what do they say? They say that nowadays people can't handle tashmish so quickly after the wedding because
you know, they can't handle, you know, physically unfamiliar things, because we're a door where we can't all of a sudden handle something that's physically unfamiliar to us. And B, they can't handle being a nida because of dam basulim during Shevar Brachos, because nowadays in our door, you can't handle being a nida. So therefore, there are those Orthodox rabbis who publish books that print, you know, tens of thousands of copies, who think that we should always push off the bias mitzvah. Okay, that's not mainstream Orthodox halacha. But even though the mainstream Orthodox halacha is that one should consummate the marriage, it's the old-fashioned way to say it in English, right after the wedding. I'll just point out there's a shach a little later on who says that in his days they had a minhag to delay the bias mitzvah for 2 or 3 days, and he says the minhag of shtus v'yeshbo iser mikama tamim. Okay, so it's also against the shach at the end of Kuf Tzadi Beis. Again, the obviously, no one's in Am HaAretz who doesn't know the Shlom Kuf Tzadi Beis and the Shach Kuf Tzadi Beis, the Ramon Kuf Tzadi Gimel. There are just those who say the machlokes is how weak is the is contemporary mankind. The those who want to change things say our door is so weak at everything that, you know, everything that used to be usher is now the chachila, because it's better than the alternative, because if anything is a little challenging, then we'll crack. Which, you know, maybe they're right, but then I'm just going to close my shulchan aruch and go into a corner and cry. I prefer to have some faith in our door. I admit that each door is different, and you can't do things exactly the same way in every generation. You have to be sensitive to you know, to changes, whether they be technical changes, physical changes, sociological changes, psychological changes. But I'm still old enough to think that, you know, that people handle things that are a little not what they're used to, or a little challenging sometimes, and they won't automatically die. So Lani is daiti, I think that, know that really, ideally, the Chasan Kala should do the Bilas Mitzvah on the wedding night, but nonetheless, you know, we, you know, it all has to depend on the circumstances, and basically, I think I'd even feel comfortable saying that every Kula that, I'm comfortable going on the record as saying, I don't think I'm too makel, every single Kula that someone who writes a series with pearls of halacha thinks should be the lechachila nowadays is mutter on a case-by-case basis, if that's what's called for. So nowadays, lemaisa, I think that pushing off the bias mitzvah is sometimes necessary depending on the exact situation on a case-by-case basis. So sometimes you will have to push off the bias mitzvah, even if you're not going to be very radical. Sometimes the bias mitzvah will get pushed off a few days. And days that are probably push it off one day because of their minhagim of Shabbos. So I think sometimes you do have to push it off. When you do have to push it off, does that mean she has to start doing bedikas? Because all of a sudden she moves the heter of 4 days. Let's say she had a Sunday wedding, and she went to the mikvah Thursday night, right? Friday night, or went to the mikvah Wednesday night, right? Went to mikvah Wednesday night, because Thursday night she was flying to the town where they were going to have the offer up in the wedding, right? She was on a plane Thursday night. She went to mikvah Wednesday night, got married on Sunday, Wednesday night to Sunday night, in the 4 days, the rabbi was okay. And then we can consummate the marriage Sunday night. Maybe not Monday night either, maybe not Tuesday night either. You know, sometimes it takes people longer, sometimes it takes people shorter. You know, everyone has to, on a case-by-case basis, their own situation. So does she have to start doing bedikas or not? That is a tremendous machlokas here. That is a tremendous machlokas. And that ties into our earlier discussion of Yehuda and Tamar.
Because the Chavos Adah said that, yeah, he says, what does Rambam mean here? He means until the wedding night. He said, what's the Iker Tuma? The Iker Chimud is not when they're actually going to sleep together. The Iker Chimud is for the Nisuin, meaning for starting married life and being able to sleep together. But once they started married life, they're able to sleep together and they're in bed together and they mind or may not decide to, consummate the marriage and it works out, it doesn't work out, whatever exactly happens, then already the chimud is over. The chimud is over. She's reached the destination. Even if there hasn't been an actual bia, so said the Chavos Das, it doesn't depend on, when they do the bia mitzvah. Even though the Ramah says bilas mitzvah, he means the night where they're supposed to sleep together and do a bilas mitzvah. But it doesn't depend on when they actually do the bilas mitzvah. It just depends when the wedding night is. Or in the Ramah's days, the Matzik Shabbos, which was their equivalent to a wedding night. However, the Lechem V'Simla of the Dal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is the Perush in Shulchan Aruch of the Sneda, says no way. The Ramah used the word bilas mitzvah. It all depends on the bia. If they push off the bia, she has to start doing medikas every day. Okay, that is a big machlokas. That is a big machlokas. What if, well, of course, this is an akamina within the Ramah, right? If we're within the Ramah, what if you have 4 days until the chuppah, but 4 or less days, until actual bia?
Are we being machalic between planning on being dochet or just
practically no, it doesn't happen? No, we're not being machalic. So this is a big machlokas. Says the Chavos Das, he says the chimer is for nisuin. Again, and nisuin meant matzei Shabbos in days of Ramah because they weren't really living together until matzei Shabbos. The chimer is for nisuin, says the Chavos Das. He says no, the ikar chimer is for nisuin, and therefore she does not need to do bedikas until bilas mitzvah. The chima is over once they're married and they move into a house together and into a bed together. However, the Lechem V'Simla disagrees. He says, no, the ikar chimud is for tashmish. The ikar chimud is for tashmish. This fits very well with the Taz. The ikar chimud is for tashmish, and therefore tzricha livdok kol yom ad bilas mitzvah. The Balei HaShulchan says we paskin like the Lechem V'Simla, and someone should tell people that because no one knows. Meaning, what he says is that, what do you mean no one knows? Meaning, people who know all the Achronim, you know what everyone says, but he means like the Kalas don't know, and no one tells the Kalas. No one tells this to the Kalas, someone tells the Kalas. Meaning, what he's saying is the minig all of like the Chavos Das, right? Because, in all circles, they don't always do the Bia Smith on the wedding night sometimes, and it's hard for people, right? If someone asks me my actual opinion as to whether you should do the bia mitzvah on the wedding night or not, I say, we should try to, but without pressure. Oh, without pressure. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. It's all good. Without pressure. Okay, it's still l'chatila. L'chatila without pressure. Okay, so in the Balei HaShulchan circles as well, didn't always work out the first night. So he thinks that the minhag is like the Chavos Das, but it shouldn't be. The minhag is like the Chavos Das, and it shouldn't be. We're able to pass like the Chavos Das, and it seems to be the minhag always like the Chavos Das, even though in some sort it says, well, this way, some sort of it that way. The Balei HaShulchan says the minhag is not this way. And Lamaisa, we're Makel again. We generally try to be Makel about these things as much as possible. And the Chavos Das is certainly a certainly wants to be Somekhan. So Lamaisa, we are Makel
like the Lamaisa we make it like Kamstas.
So that means not distinguishing between the actual Akim when he's suing at the wedding and the like night of the end, meaning that for sure goes back to the night of the end.
Yes, meaning if there's a wait, you said this. Let's say the wedding is scheduled for the winter for 4 p.m. The chuppah lefnei hashkia. Chuppah lefnei hashkia.
But obviously the wedding night is at night. Then we go by the night. Like that's like the Ramah's let's say Shabbos. So I mean until the night when you're supposed to start living together. Correct. Until the night of the chuppah, or following the chuppah, etc. Good point. Okay, one other, or what about b'di'evit? The Ramah is a funny line. B'dafka l'chachil, it's all l'chachil, but b'di'evit, what if she didn't do b'dikas, b'di'evit? Now we know from Sif Beis, b'di'evit, again, if she's the old lady, she needs at least one bedika during Shemini Kiyum. And if she's a modern-day, more typical Kala, she needs a full Shemini Kiyum for the normal demeanor. But let's say after she finishes her Shemini Kiyum, and she just didn't do the Ashkenazi Shita of continuing to be choshes every day. That ma'akim b'di'eved. Avo b'di'eved in l'hachar v'vodka rapam achas toch shiva b'di'eved. As long as she was both a pam achas toch shiva, that is good enough. This is a big machlokes. What this means. B'di'eved, what's ma'akev? She needs b'dika achas toch shiva. There are two ways to read this. The machlokes is very karen l'chavas das. Okay, they both bring you from the shach a little later, but it's not more. Said the chavas das. Said the chavas das. He says what that means is b'di eved somchem, or somchem maybe. What he basically says is b'di eved, there's no difference between Ashkenazim and Sfardim. B'di Eved, we don't worry about, remember that second din of a chash every day. What does that mean? That means that B'di Eved, as long as she counted Shiva Nikian and did one Bidika, that's enough, B'di Eved. B'di Eved, we don't worry about a chash of continued chimut every day. B'di Eved, it's enough that you did Shimon against the original chimut. However, the Sidrei Tara reads this differently. Sidrei Tara reads this differently. Says the Sidrei Tara, he says, no, even B'di Eved Ashkenazim are worried about continued chimut. He says, no, even B'di Eved, we worry even B'di Eved, we worry about continued chima. The minute the Ashkenazi was shown and meant to be mapping B'di Eved. The truth is, you do ask me, the Sidrei Tara thing too. The Ashkenazi was shown and meant to be mapping B'di Eved, and we're choshes to B'di Eved. Chavos Das would have to say either they never meant to be mapping B'di Eved, or they did, but we're not. Closer to that video. We rely on the side of the Shem. Anyway, even the Evid, we worry about every day. Just what? Just as long as you have a Dika every 7 days, the Evid, that's enough to keep your consciousness of making sure you didn't bleed. As long as you have a Dika every 7 days, we trust you, then the 6 intervening days, you paid attention to know if you're bleeding or not. And therefore, what does this mean practically? Practically, what this means is, as you didn't go 7 days without, and you didn't ever go 7 days without a bedika, that's good enough.
But it doesn't mean you just didn't ship Nikia. No! Even Midyevid asked not to wear Machman and Sparty. Even Midyevid were worried I continued Chibon. However, as long as you have one Badika every 7 days, which means you never go 7 days without a Badika, right? Let's say the gift gets delayed and delayed weeks and weeks, and there's no period for whatever reason, right? So as long as you did Badika Tuesday, and then you did another Badika honor before next Tuesday, and another Badika honor before next Tuesday, then you keep up a Badika every 7 days, keeps the clock alive, and therefore you still remember to pay attention that you have not bled. So that's a big machlokes in this great Tara. And the Chavos Dat. What's the halacha of the Eved? Certainly we try very, very hard to, certainly we try very, very hard, since this is already a shayla of the Eved. We try very, very hard not to get into a situation where we need to paskinis. I mean, even if we're being super makel for kalas, and again, okay, this is another big machlokas. There are some people who say when kalas, bedika, shidikim, etc., we are very, very makel for minimize the number of bedikas, minimize this, minimize that, because everything's too hard for people nowadays. Well, I think the more correct answer is on a case-by-case basis. You have to see how much you need to be makel, how much you don't need to be makel. But lamaisa. But with Maisa, even if we're pulling out all the stuff through Nako, we would not want her to go 7 days without a Bedika, because then you get into a chash with Israel with the evidence, according to the Sidrach of her. I mean, she kept her Thibonikim. According to the Chavos Dat, she's never going to have a Bedika problem. But according to the Sidrach Tara, if she ever goes 7 days without a Bedika, she has a Bedika problem. Therefore, you should make sure that you don't get into this situation and don't let her go 7 days without a Bedika. At the very least before the wedding, preferably even you can have it before the Yisrael, although okay, we're not always involved in that. But Lamaisa, it's not so clear how we paskin in this case, so we prefer not to get into this. At least if pushed into the shove, we really needed to, we can make like a top of stock. It changed because
I guess then now we'd be more willing to use the Chavos Dat. Like earlier,
because we're stuck.
I'm saying, well, why?
Oh, you mean because of Selekas Dama?
Yeah.
No, because Selekas Dama is not a Kula and Dapi.
Earlier, maybe you said one of the reasons we need.
But I'm thinking something else. Because birth control can cause mid cycle bleeding sometimes, especially if you first start using it. Therefore, we just want to avoid looking because we're afraid what we might find, even though that's not so much the spirit of the halacha, but sometimes we have no choice. Lamaisa, we should really try very hard to not have to get into this machlokas. I'll point out one other interesting thing, by the way, this issue about hay, I should have mentioned earlier, the Mi'ul Tzedakah, when he talks about that shlah, he says in his days, don't even bother telling people that that they shouldn't do these things, they shouldn't hug and kiss when they're engaged, etc., because they're not going to listen to anything that's interesting. Some things are a perennial problem. We do what we can. And then one of these days we'll solve it. What else did I want to point out here? The end of the Rambam. Every chasa before you touch the kala. And the wedding has to ask if she kept Shem Nikiyah. Says the Shach, he's a cut and dalid. Nowadays, we don't do that. Nowadays, we're Somech on the Shoshvinim, who would tell you, meaning, nowadays, I think we have Chassan teachers and Kala teachers and this and that, and we assume that they would tell the Chassan if the Kala was Anita. Whether she or someone else could tell him. So nowadays, you don't have to ask your Kala if she went to the mikvah before the wedding. You can assume that someone would have told you she didn't, unlike the days of Abba. Okay.
Also, is there any, like, if you're, now that this, Even as older Rabbanim, the Chimud, is there any tzara, like, because Kovat Rias, we wouldn't call up, we wouldn't make a Kovat Rias Lida?
I don't know if it's a Kovat Rias making a Kovat Rias Lida.
I guess not even
fine. Why is the Kovat Rias making a Kovat Rias Lida? Everyone doesn't know if it's a Kovat Rias Lida. So, but again, it's hard for you that Kovat Rias Lida nowadays. Probably was harder than in the old days, too. So we really do everything we can to try to avoid a chuppah snida. Which again, once upon a time was, just meant that when she gets her period, you schedule the wedding 3 weeks later, and shouldn't be much of a halachic shayla. Nowadays, sometimes she gets pretty quickly. And sometimes whatever, you just have a kedushin or something, and all of a sudden, it looks like you have the chuppah snida, and sometimes you need to call a big rabbi to see if there's any room to be made of. Say that the kallah is tahora, because that's unpleasant type of chuppah snida. Okay, the answer. But we definitely need to try to avoid a chuppah snida like this. Not mainly because of the reason the Rambam holds you're not supposed to do a chuppah snida, just because it's hard for people now to do a chuppah snida. I assume it was always hard to do a chuppah snida. This is not canon of the Gemara at all. But this is from the Rashbam. In Dachman Yisur Machazes Yusiva Afal Pi, although everyone can agree, the Chavar Shiyashra Shimonikiyam, Shikalasa Lish Shimonikiyam, Balit Bolt, Shis Pashu Lasa Sanisur. If she counted through the game, it says the shock whether she tumbled or not, or whether she already tumbled or not, and then they plucked off the Nisuin, right? Then she needs another Shivanakiyam when they yispashu, when they compromise, meaning when they come to meeting the minds and decide to do the Nisuin. Okay, somehow they had some fight and pushed off the way. Probably it was all the cases in the time of Yerushalayim were over a month. Right, because keep in mind, in those days when you talked about negotiations for shidduch, once upon a time it was less. I'm not going to exaggerate. It was less about whether the chassan likes the kala or the kala likes the chassan, and more about how much money the chassan's parents were giving and how much money the kala's parents were giving. And nowadays, in many circles, that hasn't changed much. Okay, maybe not in our circles. But certainly in Israeli Haredi circles, in many of them, it's also necessary that the Chassan likes the Kala, the Kala likes the Chassan, but that is a necessary but not sufficient condition. You also need to make sure someone's giving enough money. Okay, the Kala's parents or both, however it works out. So sometimes they somehow the negotiations don't work out, they have to cancel the wedding. So then when they somehow come to an agreement and reschedule the wedding, you need another Shivanakiyam. Basically, she has to start all over again. Why does she have to start? So this is a Hakira, which the Taz briefly Maravis to. The Lavush here says, because there's a new Chimud, basically when they cancel the wedding, the Bach also implies that if they would have canceled it for a long time, there'd be a new chimud. But the Lavush says here, the problem here is a new chimud. Basically, they cancel the wedding. She thought she wasn't getting married. Then when they decide to have the wedding again, I didn't cancel the wedding. They didn't necessarily say, you're never getting married. They say, we're indefinitely postponing. Right? Then she thought she wasn't getting married. And then when they decide to get married, she has a new chimud. The Bach says that would be true if they pushed it off for, that would be true if they came back a long time later and rescheduled the wedding. But he doesn't think that's going on here. He thinks here is when they reschedule the wedding the next day. And she doesn't have a new chimud yet. But that's a little bush that's a new chimud. But what does the Bach and the Shach and the Taz say? Says the problem is not the new chimud. The problem is she stopped paying attention in between to check if she was bleeding. She didn't pay attention to see if she was bleeding in between. Because she thought it was going to be a long time till the wedding. So she didn't pay attention in between.
Okay, we'll see if there is a Navgamina. What?
Why is it relevant for the Shulchan Aruch?
Why is that relevant for the Shulchan Aruch? So here, I think the Shulchan Aruch is going back because the Shulchan Aruch says she already Yashba Shimoniki. Well, depends how you're willing to read the Shulchan Aruch. So I was a little misopak, meaning most of the year, Achronim are not discussing it according to the Shulchan Aruch. I only have two choices because all the Achronim, who I'm quoting, are Ashkenazi Achronim. So the Shulchan Aruch have two choices. Either you have to be either he holds like the simplest shot, and he holds like the old bush, it's because of the new feet. Right, so the Shulchan Aruch says once you finish the Kiyam, you don't need to keep checking for God.
I'm sorry.
So he probably won't like the Lavush because it's a new thing. But if you want to be Nidchak, you could say he means you're in the middle of Shivanakiyam. And then you stop paying attention to lose your Shivanakiyam. And when he says Yachvat Shivanakiyam, he means, you know, continued and then finished after the rescheduling. But that's the simple shot is. So what's the reason for Sib Gimel, Sev Lavush, and Bechora the Mechaber? And why does Yehuda point out Mechaber should be with Lavush? Because the Mechaber holds after Shimon Akim, there is no Shach of Dam anymore. So what are you worried about? You worry about an entirely new Chimon. After all, I mean, example they use, let's say Sama, girl was engaged, calls off the wedding, starts dating again, and a year later gets engaged to someone else. Of course you need to know that Shimon Akim for a new Chimon. It's not like you're using once in your life. Right? So the Lavush says it is a new Chimon. However, the Bach and the Shach and the Tav, although interestingly, the Bach said, if they would call it off and reschedule a week later, it would be a new chimut. But he thinks the case in the Shulchan Aruch, they call it off and they schedule the next, reschedule the next day. It's not one that's a new chimut. Rather, no, it's the old chimut, but she didn't pay attention meanwhile. And might have bled. By the way, the pieces similar to all the cases discussed in these, it's a little funny. Last time we learned Hilchos Nida, I think I said, okay, but you know, these cases very, very rarely come up as Manazah. Like, people are getting married, they're getting married. That was before COVID. During COVID, you got all kinds of different permutations of these Shilas. Generally, they're a mutter for reasons that we'll see. But you got all these cases, they pushed up the money down, they pushed it up, and this and that, not because they couldn't agree how much money everyone would give. You know, for the obvious reasons. Anyway, this is a chakira. Is it to the new chimut, or just no, the old chimut continues, and she didn't pay attention because she got distracted, because she, you know, she was, because they had postponed the wedding. Says the Bach, what the Nafgamina? Nafgamina says the Bach is, what if they reschedule the wedding, but also mime it at the same time? And in the Pesvei Tshuva, not in the Shach and the Tav, in the Pesvei Tshuva, he quotes the Bach and the Laritata and the Sibri Tara, that even within one day, even if that mime is the same meeting within one day, what if they reschedule the wedding the same day? I don't mean they have the wedding. Meaning the wedding's supposed to be in 4 days, and this morning they say, forget it. We're not getting married right now because we can't agree on the money or whatever reason. And then this afternoon they say, you know what? Let's have it 4 days like we thought, or let's have it in 5 days or in 6 days or whatever. If it's all set back, it's only one day, that's not long enough for her to really forget to check. Within the same day, she's still going to have her awareness. We're not going to like forget to think about it. So he said the Nafkamino, if we a new chimo, then it's a new chimo. But said the Bach, what's the Nafkamino? According to the Bach, and that's the Machlokes between him and the Lavush. What's the Nafkamina? Machlok is Bach and Lavush, quoted by the Taz. What's the Nafkamina? Nafkamina is what if they rescheduled
that day. Not that we scheduled it to get married that day, but they made a new date on the same day they canceled the old date. So Bush says that Shricha is dying the Kiyam, because what do you mean? They called it off at 9 a.m. Then at 11 a.m. they rescheduled it, but now she has a new Chimad. The Bach says, no, we're not talking about a new Chimad. We're just talking about forgetting to pay attention. In 2 hours, we're not worried you forgot to pay attention. 2 hours, you're still latently paying attention to everything. All of the Achronim agreed with the Bach here. That's the original Nachmanina, the Chakir, the Bach, and Lavosh, is what Bush says, quoting the Taz, even if Miyad they make a new date, then she needs a new Shemekiyah because she took her mind off it, and then she put her mind back and they had a new Chimot. And he said, no, we're not talking about a new Chimot at all. That's not what's going on here. Rather, like the Bach, the problem is just that you forgot to pay attention to the old Chimot. And within one day, we're not afraid to forget to pay attention. Okay, I don't want to go super duper late. We don't need to go into all the riots back and forth. What are basically some of the cases where we're making on this? What are some of the cases where they are, where controversial? Give me a quick word. We'll go 5 minutes and then we will stop. How about Dachu v'chazru v'kavu, Sif Gimel? What are the controversial parts of Sif Gimel? Right? Sif Gimel, what parts are controversial? What if chazru v'kavu be'oso hayom, says the Bach and the Shach and the Taz Mutter? Again, they say in the same meeting, but in the Pesach Chumi quotes the Maritats and the Surya Tara means the same day, says Lavush, Usher, and we Paskin like the Bach. The other big machlokes is what if Budka being tying in between? What if she Bedikas in between? What if she kept up doing Bedikas? If she kept up doing Bedikas, then the Marik brings down that was a machlokes, and the Ramah Pas like Marik, Afal Bisha Budka, Batavid being tied, Biyomish being tying Lo Mahani. Even if she's Bedikas doesn't help because we don't think she took it seriously, says the Maharik and the Ramah. Asur, because even if she did Bedikas, we don't trust her to take it seriously. The Shach quote, the Masas Ben Yamin says, no way. So what's the problem? She did Bedikas. She kept her mind on it the whole time. Masas Ben Yamin says, Mutter, but even the Masas Ben Yamin himself, we'll put an asterisk, says, but Lamaisa, I don't have the chutzpah to argue on everyone. And we Paskin like the Maharik and the Ramah. We don't trust her, even if she did Bedikas in between. It's a big chumrah, but that's how we paskin. Just one or two things. What if, again, with modern communication, it's hard to imagine this happening nowadays. What if Nisake Pachosan Machas Onis? What if the case? I was at a chuppah once. A friend of mine got married once, and we're all there at the shmorg or whatever, and everyone was there but the chassan. Chassan wasn't there. We're all nervous. Everyone's nervous, like, what's going on here, right? He's jilting her, right? That's the word in English, to not show up to your way. Anyway, so it turns out the chassan was just a bit of a luftmensch, and he didn't prepare in advance, and got stuck in traffic, and eventually he made it in time for when the chuppah was called for, even if not for the kabbalah's punning. He was just very smart. Sometimes it happens to people who are very smart. So what if the chassan doesn't show up? And this is before cell phones, right? You'll say, why didn't you just call the cell phone? This is guy my age, there were no cell phones. So it's the Akiva chassan machlas ones. He doesn't show up, and then he shows up 2 days later and says, I got stuck on the road. This is a big machlokes between the Shach and the Taz. Kitzer says the Shach mutter. Why? Because she knows that people get stuck on the road sometimes, and she doesn't think she's being jilted. The Taz says, no, are you kidding? She thinks she's going to be an old maid and never get married, and this guy betrayed her, etc. And then when she shows up, when he shows up, she has an entirely new, either entirely new chima, he says, and certainly she didn't pay attention between. Lemaisa, it doesn't happen nowadays with the cell phones, but the achronim generally hold like the shach. A few other cases are, the Taz has some other cases. What if you had, says the Taz, mutter, and if let's say, they didn't fully decide to push it off, or one side did, but the other side is still arguing. Right. So what if they haven't come to a conclusion yet? Let's say they're like, right now we're not ready yet, but we're not ready to say we're pushing it off. We're just sleeping on it. Or one side said, that's it, we're leaving, we're out of here. The other side, not so fast. If they're still negotiating, then she hasn't given up yet. We say that's mutter. One funny case that Taz points out is, said the Taz, what if they keep the wedding, they just switch chassons? Right, no big deal. Again, it sounds funny to modern ears, right? What if they keep the wedding, just switch the chassan? Then that's usher because she has a new chimas. What if they switch back? Said the Taz, that's also usher. Because once they switch to another guy, they switch back, that's a new chimas. Okay. And one thing I will just point out, and then we'll have to save Sif Dalet, which is very fascinating for next time, is this Taz earlier in Sif Katan Gimel took it as a double pashat. What if they make the wedding earlier? If they make the wedding earlier, let's say she's supposed to get married in 2 weeks, and they say, let's make it one day earlier. This happened all the time during Corona, right? They're like, there's going to be new restrictions. Let's make the wedding 2 days earlier, right? Mind some hood. If they could make it 2 days later, and that's pasha. That at the same time, they make it later. That's even better, even Lavush would admit in this case. Lavush means if in one meeting they said it's called off, no, let's do it in another week. If they say, let's just push a day later, then clearly there's no new. It would need to go back and forth. Then push it. What if they say we'll make it earlier? Is that a chash of a chima? Because now it's earlier, so I'm more excited. The times gotten given to us that we're pushing it, making it earlier is, what if you just, no push off, right? There's no dechia. Just rescheduling later or earlier, then that is mutter. How do we know rescheduling later is mutter? That's a kol shekein from the Bach, right? This is better than the case of the Bach. And this is just a double push in the Taz of Gutten Gimel. It took us a double push. That making it earlier is not a problem. Why? Because if you just make it earlier or later, that's a technical point. And that was all the COVID questions. They made it earlier, they made it later, but generally, they didn't say, if they had said, COVID, forget the wedding, we'll have to see what happened there for COVID, then that would be a problem, right? Somebody do that. The parents come out, forget it, we'll have to wait till after COVID. And then they say, no, let's do it again in a week. That's a problem. But if they just say, let's do it a few days later, a few days earlier, a week later, a week earlier, that's no problem whatsoever. That's not Sif Gimel at all. That's just changing the date. That's not pulling it off and rescheduling it. That's just changing the date. That's no problem at all.
Assuming they made it early enough time to delay switching the game. You
can
just make
it to the game.
But I'm saying their wedding was originally in 2 months.
Obviously, then you'd be stuck. Okay, we'll have to continue next time. You can ask me a question, but let's let everyone go because it's already a borderline violation of the Eighth Amendment.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.